Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight we're going to be continuing our series on a new normal, because there's things as we go into 2020, which is a new decade, and 2020, which is a new year, that God wants to take us from an old way of thinking and take us into a new normal. You know, there are times in our lives where it's just the end of a season where God says, hey, we're going to do something different. We're going to go a different way. We're going to do something new. I want you to change it up. There are also times where it's not just a new season, or it may not be a new season, but there may be a challenge that God says, you know what? You faced that challenge for too long, and it's time for you to move forward and past that. You think of Israel walking through the wilderness, and there was a time, a new season, where they went into the promised land. You think of times in the Bible where God poured out his spirit and said, hey, I'm going to do something new. There are moments in life, or there may be things in your life, where God says, you know what? That's done. Welcome to a new normal. But we have to be spiritually in the right place and in tune with what God wants to do in our life, listening, seeking the Lord with all our heart if we want to experience the new normal that he has for us. That's why being here tonight is really, really important. Getting in the presence of God is really, really important, because you're literally putting your ear to the ground and saying, God, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to be a part of what you're doing, because I want to experience everything that you have for me. And I believe that God doesn't just randomly do things or cause things in the heart of the leaders here at the church or what we're doing as a church, but God is leading us. And that means that there's a lot of people in James River Church, and maybe you're watching online, who God wants to do something in your life to bring you into a new normal, which I think is pretty exciting, don't you? How many of you say, I would like a new normal in some areas of my life? Hello, people, if Jesus will just give that to me. And that's a great start to it. And I want to talk to you about a new normal from a story that you're very familiar with, the story of David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Now, how many of you grew up in church? You're like, David and Goliath, that's, David's my homeboy. All right, like three people. How many of you didn't grow up in church? And you're like, I don't even know who David is. How many of you say, I don't raise my hand for sermonic surveys. No survey raising for me. All right. David and Goliath, you know the story, but there's a context to this story that I think helps us understand how a new normal can happen in our lives. Because you may not know this, but when David kills Goliath, giant killing in Israel was not the norm. And you pick that up right away when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, where David kills Goliath. This is not a normal thing. But we find, as we read through scripture, that after David kills this giant, giant killing becomes more of a normal. It becomes more of a normal thing. It's like a broken barrier that happened. As I was looking at or studying this sermon, came across the story of the guy who broke the four-minute mile. Back in 1952, the four-minute mile was broken. Up until that time, it was thought impossible for somebody to run a mile in under 4 minutes. Many people had tried. Scientists even said, that's impossible. No, but it's physically impossible for a human being to do that. And then I believe it's Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile. And since that time, 1,400 people have broken the four-minute mile since 1952, once the barrier was broken. It's interesting in scripture, David kills a giant, and after he kills a giant, giant killing becomes more of a norm. You got all kinds of people killing giants after David kills a giant, but up until that point, it seems like it's impossible. I wonder what area of your life, maybe there's a giant, or maybe there's a situation that you'd look at in your life, maybe there's a problem, maybe there's some thing that you're looking at and you're like, you know what, I just see that as a reality, but I don't think it's ever going away. I think it's impossible. I don't think God could ever move that. I don't think I could ever move that. And I don't see how that can happen. And maybe it's something in your family that has become a generational thing. You're generationally, there's alcohol in your family. And you just, once you got that into your life, you just accepted it as a giant that you will never be able to beat. Maybe it's some sort of mindset in your family. Maybe there's a mindset when it comes to money where you're like, man, we just don't handle money well in our family. And so you look at your life and you say, that's a giant that I'm never gonna be able to beat. Maybe it could be depression. It could be any number of things. But when you look at it, you say, the history says this isn't going away. I wanna encourage you tonight that God is able to bring you into a new normal, no matter what your family history is, no matter what you look at and you say, my personal history is, no matter the pattern or habit that you see in your life, God is able by his power and by the Holy Spirit to bring you into a new normal. But sometimes we have to get the word of God in us to say, hold on a minute. Just because you feel like that is unmovable, just because you feel like that's the reality in your life, just you feel like that's always how it's gonna be, let's look at the word of God and let's align our lives and our beliefs with the word of God, because that's what God is going to use by the power of his Holy Spirit to bring us forward. So I wanna look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll just look at it in verse 2. This gives us the context of the situation. Paul, so Philistines have gathered and Saul, you know, ironically, I'm just gonna tell you this little story, let myself out. I preached on the Midianites the other day and like defeating the Midianites. But for half the sermon, I preached on the Mennonites and defeating the Mennonites. It happens to preachers, all right? All right? So don't judge us. You know what we mean, all right? Paul, just kidding, Saul, countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with a valley in between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield, and Goliath stood and shouted a taunt to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. So this gives you the context. So sometimes I know when we're reading through the Bible, or maybe you've heard the story before, you can be like, oh yeah, David killed Goliath. But you can forget the context. And if we try to apply the Bible and the principles of Scripture without the context, it can lose some of the power for our lives, because when we find our context, but we're just going off their victory, we don't get the whole story of what the Spirit of God would want to do. I mean, when you read this context, you're like, that is a bad deal. That this guy, Goliath, a huge champion, is coming out 40 days and 40 nights, and he's continually just taunting them, continually hammering them. And I think, you know, when I'm looking at this passage, I'm thinking, what causes a giant to become your normal? What causes a giant to become the norm in your life that you would say, if you're sitting in here tonight, I have a giant in my life and I need a new normal? How does that happen? I think it's very insightful when we look at verse 16, that for 40 days, morning and evening, for 40 days, he took his stand in front of Israel. Morning and evening. Morning and evening. That means they get up, they go out, they listen to him taunt them, they go back. They get up, they go out, they listen to him taunt, they go back. They get up, they go out, they listen to him taunt, they go back. You know, I don't know about you, but if you have a giant in your life, that's exactly how it goes. You get up, you think, I got this. You go out, you think, I don't got this. You go back. Then you get up, you go out, you get taunted, you go back. And it's when you're in that situation that a giant becomes normal. You know, 40 days and 40 nights, when you see that in scripture, it's not always meaning an exact 40 days and 40 nights, but it's really just a figure of speech for a long time. Meaning this became the norm. Yeah, we have a giant. Yeah, we don't know how to beat him. Yeah, we just go listen to him talk to us about how we're never going to beat him. And if you keep hearing that over and over again, what happens? The giant gets bigger. And the habit grows of not winning. And the habit grows of feeling small. And the habit grows of we're never going to beat this. You get up. You go out. You go back defeated. I don't think they were necessarily giving up. I'm sure sometimes it even says in the story that they lifted up the battle cry. I'm sure sometimes they went out and said, maybe today's the day we're gonna beat him. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling like we're gonna beat him today. I feel like we're gonna get it. And they get up and they go out and they feel like, man, I don't think we can beat that guy. And maybe if you're facing a giant, you know exactly how that feels. You wake up and you go out, and the same giant's there, the same problem, the one that you've been trying to be like, man, I just want to get past this, it's still there. And what do you do when that happens, and how do you deal with that normal? You know, another thing that I think makes a giant a normal is just that the raw physicality of who Goliath is. It's very interesting to me that when the writer puts this together for us, that he spends a lot of time describing how big Goliath is. I mean, if you've read through the Old Testament, there aren't very many enemies. In fact, I couldn't think of any enemy that the Bible takes as much time describing what they're wearing and how big they are as this writer does Goliath. But I think that is very insightful for us, because when you look at the giant, you know, oftentimes when it comes to giants in life, we can think, man, I just hope this giant will go away, you know? Maybe one day Goliath will have a heart attack and we can just all move forward, you know? Like, that's how you, honestly, if you're facing a giant, you can live that way. You don't want to fight the giant, but you know you can't run, so you just keep going out, hoping the giant will go away, hoping that relational issue will go away, hoping that unforgiveness in your heart will go away, hoping that depression will go away, hoping that addiction will go away, hoping that whatever that giant is will go away, hoping that feeling of loneliness will go away, hoping that feeling of doubt will go away, and you just keep getting up, hoping that will go away, hoping it will go away, hoping it will go away. But you have to realize that you're facing a real giant. And giants don't just go away. It's not gonna go anywhere by you wishing that giant would move. That there's some action that you're gonna have to take in your life in order to see that giant go. So we're gonna learn some things from David about how he moves really the whole people of Israel from a normal of facing a giant to a new normal where giants are defeated in Israel. And we're gonna see it. First thing I want you to see is this. We have to get spiritually offended. Spiritually offended. You know, sometimes when you're facing a giant in your life, you can become apathetic to that reality. Because the fact that you don't think it will move, or you think that it's impossible, or you think you'll never win in this, can make you apathetic to the reality. And that hope that it will just go away is like, when this goes away, then I will move forward. Can you imagine if Israel would have thought that? That they would be stuck. In fact, they were stuck in this story. When you see that, I mean, that's a long time to just be drawing up battle lines, is 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time to go out and listen to a giant taunt you. They're stuck. And so how do you get unstuck? You have to get spiritually offended. You have to be, when I say spiritually offended, you have to let the Holy Spirit touch your heart and say, God, this isn't right. God, this isn't your will. God, this isn't how you want it. God, I stand on your word and I know your character, God, and this isn't right. And God, you've called me a child of God. And God, you've called me a person that knows Jesus. And you said, I have a hope and a future. And God, this isn't right. and that spirit, that something rise up in you that says, I'm not going to stand by and just let this happen anymore. I'm not going to let this giant just walk through my life anymore. I'm not going to let this emotion rule my life anymore. That's supercharged by the enemy who wants to keep me from walking in the calling that God has for me. You got to get a little bit offended and say, I'm going to do something about it. And I love what David says. So he rolls up and the giant's coming and going out. And David rolls up. And here's what he says when he sees the giant. David asks the men standing near him, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, that's like Christian cussing right there, you know? That's like, he's like, what he's saying is, this is somebody who's not the covenant people of God. So what gives him a right to speak to the covenant people of God that way? You know, I wonder if you see yourself as in Christ when it comes to the giant that you're facing. If you think God cares about it. If you think God wants to do something about it. Or if you've resigned yourself to say, that's just the way it is. I'm going to have to live with this the rest of my life. I'm going to have to live with this doubt. I'm going to have to live with this insecurity. I'm going to have to live with whatever that is that you would look at and say, no, if we really pray, God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. No, I'd have to say, this isn't the will of God in my life. I'd have to say, this is not the way God wants it to be. So take a note from David. And if you want to walk into a new normal, then allow yourself to get a little spiritually offended. What gives the enemy the right to roll up into your life and just tell you how it is? Who are you? You're a child of God. God says it doesn't have to be that way. God says, you know what? I'm with you. God says you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. God says, greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. So why don't you get a little spiritually offended and say, you know what? I'm not going to resign myself, because the enemy will lie to you and say you can't win. And then he'll follow up that lie with a lie that says, that's always how it's going to be. You're always going to be that way. I know you've tried to win. I know you've tried to overcome. And I know there's probably been points where you failed. And so you take that failure and you say, that's the proof that it's always going to be this way. And I believe God wants to bring you into a new normal. But it's going to take you saying, God, I know this is not your will. And God, I am going to get a little bit, when I say spiritually offended, that's the kind of thing that should move you into the altar. That's the kind of thing that should put your hands up in prayer. That's the kind of thing that should move you into your prayer closet. That's the kind of thing that gets you motivated. Because when you know God's on your side and somebody, sometimes we let the enemy just walk in and take whatever he wants, don't we? We say, oh, this is how it is. But that's not how it is scripturally. We shouldn't let the enemy walk in. We should say, no, that's not happening. And we are going to stand firm in the Lord, and we're going to seek God, and we're going to call on his name, and we're going to get a little Holy Spirit offense that says this is not how it's going to be. And you draw a line in the sand, and it gives you spiritual strength when you do that. Sometimes if you've resigned yourself to something, I want to encourage you to say, God, I've resigned myself to this. And God, it might be because of a lack of faith, because I don't really believe you want to move in it. Or I don't really believe you can. Or I don't want to go through the disappointment of you not doing it. But then say, then stand on his character and say, God, but your word says you are good and you do good. Your word says, I called to the Lord and he answered me. He lifted me out of all my fears. Your word says, and you just keep going through those things, and you read your word and highlight it and write it down and say, this is what I'm going to stand on. And get a little, I love the fire in David. Because when you face a giant in your life, you're gonna need that. It's not that the obstacle isn't real. This is a real person. This is a real challenge. It's not that he's just positive confessioning it. He's saying, no, that is a real obstacle, but I know the Lord's gonna come through, because that's not right. Amen. And the enemy will always do things in your life that aren't right. There are gonna be things in your life that are wrong. people in your life that do wrong things. There's going to be offenses in your life that happen. There's going to be unforgiveness in your heart that you say, I know this isn't right. I know this unforgiveness isn't right. But you know what? That's not how it has to be. And I'm not going to let the enemy run over my life. I'm going to live by the word of God because I know God is greater and I know he can do it. Amen? Amen. Number two, remember how God has helped you overcome. So David says basically, who is this guy that he's doing this? And he says, oh, you know, I'm going to fight him. So they bring him before the king. And this is what happens. This happens before the king. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion, so Saul's like, you cannot fight this guy. Like, he's like way bigger than you, and he's been fighting since he was a little kid. And David says, you know what? Your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. How many of you know, like, if some kid came in your, like, office or something and was like, yeah, and then when it turned on me, I took it by the hair and struck it and killed it. You'd be like, security, you know, like, or something. I don't know. This guy, whenever you read this by David, you're like, wow, you're awesome. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. So you sense that fire. You sense that urgency. But he remembers how God has overcome for him in the past. Some of you, if you've been living for the Lord, there was a time that you could point back to where you're like, I was walking through something really hard. Maybe it's when you gave your life to Christ. Maybe it's when you really prayed through. Maybe it's sometime when we fasted as a church and you saw God come through. And when you're facing the giant that you're facing today, the enemy wants to do everything he can to make you forget that, to make you doubt that, to make you not walk in that. But if you're going to walk into the new normal and you're going to defeat the giant in front of you, then you're going to have to remember when God helped you overcome. And when you're facing a giant, if you're just looking at the giant, it's a lot harder to feel like you're going to win. But when you look at what God has done and who he is, then it gives you strength for the battle ahead. And I believe it's God's will for us as believers to speak differently when it comes to the battles that we're facing. You know, just to get a little bit of that, little bit of that grit and a little bit of that passion and a little bit of that offense that says, makes people go, whoa, what happened to you? You know, it's like, you know, you're at work and maybe you're going through something in your marriage and you're like, somebody's like, how's your marriage? And you're like, I'm gonna kill it. And they're like, oh my gosh. You're like, I will destroy the enemy. I will cut off his head and feed him to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. You're like, that's cool, man. That's cool. But like a little bit of that grit that says, you know what? I got this because I got God on my side, because I know how he came through before and he will do it again. I got this because God is able. I got this because I remember how he came through. Have you ever walked through something where you said, I didn't know how I was going to make it, and I called out to God and God answered me? Then you need to remember that and speak that as you're facing the giant that you're facing today. Speak it. Say, you know what? God, I remember you did this. God, I remember how you came through. And I know you're going to do it again. You got to remember how God's helped you overcome. You got to get a little offended by what the enemy's doing. And then you got to go on offense. You got to go on offense. You can't sit back. You'll never beat giants in your life sitting back. God's called you to something big. God's called you to work in your life. God's called you to have a healthy marriage. God's called you to be a light at your work. God's called you to bring health into your family. And if the enemy's attacking that, whether that's through a bitter spirit or whether that's through just an unforgiveness or whether that's through a sin in your life, then you have to say, you know what? That's not the way it's going to be, and you're going to need to go on offense. because it's not going to fix itself. And that's why things like the prayer meeting are so important, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. And a lot of those things happen are in the battle of your mind, in the battle of your spirit. Because if the enemy can attack your faith and cause you not to believe God and cause you to latch on to things that are not right and not of God, then it can ruin what God wants to do in your life and what God would do in your life. And it can cause giants to live there for a long time and become the norm. Where you're saying, I've just lived with this giant for so long. It's like, yeah, what's new? I wake up in the morning and there it is. I go to bed at night and there it is. How do I get out of it? Go on offense. Go on offense. But do it with the Lord. Do it with the Lord, because when you say, God, it's a spiritual battle. I'm not just saying get offended and be like, yeah, I hate this and I'm going to change. Or, yeah, you know, let's get the giant. I'm not saying like a positive confession thing. I'm saying this is something where you get with God and you say, God, I'm going to get filled with the Holy Spirit on this. I'm going to get God insight on this, so I have God words on this, and I'm going to speak with a fire that comes from the Holy Spirit and a determination that comes from the Holy Spirit that, man, there's just nothing that can replace that. I love when David, he's going on offense, so he's going to go fight the giant. I want you to see what he says. He said, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And this very day I'll give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. Now, I want you to picture this kid facing this giant saying that. But I love, you feel the heat on the words. You feel it coming up, stirring up from inside. God has words for your battle. God wants to take you on offense, but he wants to go with you. And he's saying, you know what? You need me to break this giant, but God wants to bring you in a new normal. The normal is not with the giant there. The normal is not what you said, that will always be there. The normal is God taking you forward, where you will look back and you say, after that giant went, then this giant went, then this giant went, then this giant went, and I thought that giant wouldn't go, but now I've seen a string of them because God built my faith through that battle, and the battle was the Lord's, and he defeated him. You know, in 2 Chronicles 20 and 1 Samuel 21, you see four more giants that go. One of them is killed by David's brother. In this story, David's brother is somebody who's like, David, who do you think you are? It's one of David's brothers. And then later on, we see one of his brothers killing a giant because they recognize, wow, what I never thought was possible is possible with the Lord. I wonder for the giant in your life that God is putting on your heart that he wants to, by his grace and through prayer, defeat in your life. I wonder who in your life, when they see you take out that giant, it'll give them faith for theirs. When they see you take out that giant, it will make them think that is possible. When they see you take out that giant, they say, you know what, there is a God, and if he can help you, he can do it for me. So when God's taking us and he wants to take us into a new normal, it's not just for us, it's for the people around us. And God loves you so much. He cares about you. He has battles for you to win this year. The battles you are facing today will not be the battles you face next year. God says, you know what? You get in my presence, you seek me, and I'm gonna help you. And the battle is the Lord's, and I'm gonna take out that giant that you think is impossible, because I am with you. If you just look to me and let God work in your heart, then you get a little bit of Holy Spirit offended and you take it on. You go on offense, God will use you in a big way. I know for some people, depression is a really big battle. And a depression can feel that way. It can feel like a battle you'll never win. but God can lift you out of it. It is not your future. God can lift you out of it. I know for some of you, an addiction can feel that way. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they're in an addiction. God can lift them out of it. God has the power to lift people out of addiction. God can lift you out of it. I know when something gets in your spirit, it can feel that way. It's never gonna go away. God can lift you out of it. God can help you. He can give you a new perspective. He can give you new language. He can help you speak life when you never could. I know a sinful habit can feel that way, can feel like a giant that's never going away. God can lift you out of it. God can help you. That battle does not have to be next year's battle. God will take down that giant if you trust the Lord, amen? Amen. We're just gonna take a few moments, open up the altar. But if you're saying, you know what, I'm facing a giant and I want God to take me into a new normal, what I would encourage you to do is when you come in the altar, not just pray against the giant. Obviously, we know God wants to take that out. But say, God, help me to see what you see. Because if you see what God sees, that's what stirs up that spiritual offense to say, God, this is not right, because you're gonna see that giant the way God sees it. And then say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit to fight this battle with you, not on my own. Because that's what gives you that grit and that tenacity that you need, that does not come from yourself, but comes from him. And then, God, would you fight the battle with me? And you watch God do what only he can do, amen? I'm gonna invite you to come in the altar. Let's take some time, let's seek the Lord, and let's pray that God brings us into a new normal where the giants fall and he reigns, amen?